Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Monday. Busy hour on tap. In 15 minutes, we'll get into the explosion, the popularity of mention markets. We'll explain it at that time. David Purdom's going to be on the show this week. Great story that he wrote on ESPN.com. Warren Sharp, bottom of the hour. His look here at the Super Bowl now that we're in this one-week window before the game. And also Reeler Fugazi coming up in 45 minutes. Small card tonight, Pauly, in the NBA. There is a game going on right now. Charlotte is now leading New Orleans 85-82. 9:20 and counting to play in the game. So this was bumped up because of the severe weather in Charlotte. And so that means that only three games coming up later on tonight that you can bet on, including, this is a good one, man. After the Clippers with no James Harden dismantled Phoenix last night, they're at home hosting Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid's and the Phillies favored by one here at Circa Totals 218. His last seven games, points scored, 33, 30, 32, 38, 29, 37, and 40. 35.2 points per game in that span. Tonight's points prop, 27.5. He's going against Zubac.
Great matchup.
Awesome matchup.
They are hot, playing great ball. The other thing is a strange story with Paul George. If I have mental health issues and I need medication to treat it, I don't know. Shaq had an interesting thought about this. Is all the stuff they hand you and the brochures and the packets. Don't take this, don't take this, don't take that. And Barkley was on the other side saying, I don't care what that says. If I need it for mental health, I should be able to take the medication. In any event, he's out 25 games, and the Sixers were making a push here, but still have a lot of talent and a good team that can, they could maybe hang in there without him, and they're not going to miss him that much. But I would say lower scoring game tonight. Based on they had an easy time of it against Phoenix, but then again, the travel, maybe, and they're playing better defensively. I would say under, if anything, here, but a hell of a matchup.
Embiid projects for 25.4 points. VSiN.com/NBA props. You can find out all their projections with the Opta AI stats. I will point this out. Last night, Kawhi Leonard had 25-8-5. Now, the Clippers' last back to back situation was January 9th and 10th. Kawhi played both games, scored 26 in each. But it can all, you know, this has been a thing with him now forever about, you know, is he actually going to be available in the back-to-back? Yep. And like I said, they had no Harden last night. This is a really good game. And I just, this turnaround for the Clippers now has been real, and it's been borderline spectacular.
Yep.
With what they're doing. They might win that division.
That's in play. No doubt. That's a doubleheader on Peacock in the first game, Minnesota and Memphis. The road team is on an 8-1 ATS run. Minnesota laying 6.5 with a big total here, but they are tough to handicap. You don't know what team you're going to get night in, night out with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Sure. I thought Zach Cohen had a good write-up today on the website. He broke down with analysis Rudy Gobert to have a double-double. In two games against Memphis this year, he has averaged 12.5 points and 16 rebounds. And in fact, he had 16 rebounds in each game. Memphis is missing Zach Edey. And monitor the status here of Jaren Jackson as well. Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle questionable. But how about a look at Ty Jerome for Memphis in this game? He came back, played the first game in forever over the weekend. Started at point guard. He only played 19, 20 minutes. He scored 20 points. And he had a bunch of assists tonight, and we were riding that Cam Spencer wave for a little bit before that went under a couple times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome might be the guy, Pauly. 3.5 tonight, I found as high as plus 134. Outside of the state of Nevada, earlier today, 3.5 over was almost like plus 185. If he's the starting point guard for that guy, or for this team, I think betting him to have 4+, and if you even want to climb the ladder a little bit, maybe if you want to go 5-6+ to get some big, big numbers on him, maybe worth a look.
Good angle. Anything in the other game? With the Rockets?
There's no Durant. Pacers are playing much better basketball lately.
Uh-huh.
They're 5-1 with a plus 4.8 net rating in their last six home games. Indy is playing their second home game in 5 days. They are 66-42-1 ATS under Carlisle in that spot. And with Udoka as the head coach, the Rockets 24-29 against the spread when they're playing their eighth game or more in a span of 14 days. So they have a lot of miles on the odometer here going back the last 2 weeks. Indiana is super fresh, playing much better basketball, and there's no Kevin Durant tonight. Maybe the Pacers are worth a look.
All right.
Plus a 6.5.
All right. You want to get hardcore? I don't know if there's someone out, but this is a strange line. Let's go to the Southland Conference. Stephen F. Austin against McNeese State. Big game. 19-3 against 18-4. Stephen F. Austin, 12-1 in conference. McNeese, 11-2. Everyone knows about McNeese and the, what do we call them going up? Boom boxes, ghetto blasters. You know, the kid would come out with the boom box and, you know, the NIL deal. So they won a game in the tournament last year, and they went to the tournament 2 years ago. Stephen F. Austin, good program. Their only conference loss at McNeese by a bucket. I'm thinking they get revenge here. This opened pick one, McNeese up to 3, 3.5. What am I missing here? I like the Lumberjacks at home tonight in a huge game to get revenge against McNeese State and what might be their only conference loss of the year, and hopefully they go toe-to-toe for the automatic bid into the tournament, the championship game, once we get to March.
And look at their overall record there.
I was going to say, I think you were going there. They're unbelievable ATS.
Yeah, 16-4. It's one of the best, if not the best, marks in the entire country. So you want to take the three, you want to take a little money line as well?
Yes.
Plus 140?
Yeah. And the other one, so you have Sam Houston, 16-3, Mercer, Stephen F. Austin, 16-4, Portland State, the Vikings out of the Big Sky are 13-3-1 ATS. They are 6.5 tonight against the Idaho State Bengals. They won by 7 on the road in the first meeting. They've been great all year, ATS. I think they can have a comfortable win and open up a can tonight in the late game. They are 8-1 in conference. Idaho State 3-6. I think Portland State can get what they want offensively and cover against Idaho State.
I like it. Very good. Syracuse is playing at North Carolina tonight, and North Carolina is now up to an 11.5-point favorite in this game. The Cuse, their top scorer, Donnie Freeman, back, but they are 160th in the country in points per possession overall and 363 in free throw percentage. They shoot 63% from the stripe. North Carolina, as always, very good rebounding team, 26th overall in the land in rebound percentage. Syracuse is 209. So North Carolina should absolutely be able to gobble up and destroy this team on the glass. And Syracuse allows teams to rebound 33.7 of their missed shots. That's number 302 in the country. So this was 10 up to 11.5. I kind of agree with the move overall in this game, and I did take a peek at North Carolina. I have not watched them play enough this year to have a strong opinion on them, although they have some obviously very good young talent. Wilson's awesome. 20-1 to make the Final Four.
Really?
I don't know. I don't think they can win the whole thing, but 20-1 to make the Final Four. And the other game would be Kansas at Texas Tech. Kansas off that. How about that? Did you have, you had Kansas over the weekend?
Yes. Rocking chair.
You had, was that down to a 1-point
game?
Yeah.
It was up, they were up 20 something. It got cut down to 3 or 4.
Yeah. So Peterson was so good in that first half. Then the cramp showed up again. Didn't play, and their huge first half lead was cut all the way down to 1. So their last two games, 1.3 points per possession against K-State, 1.3 against BYU, their two best offensive games since the season opener against Green Bay. Peterson did have 18 in those 20 minutes. He's only played 11 out of their 21 games, but he scored 16-plus in every one of them. Tech takes and makes a lot of threes. Kansas is 10th in the Big 12 in three-point percentage defense, and they have allowed 10-plus made from deep in 5 out of 8 conference games. 4, 4.5 is a big number, but I don't think I'd get behind Kansas.
They had won 9 out of 10 before the loss Saturday at Central Florida, who's a good team.
Yeah.
They split with Houston. They're the only team to beat Duke. When they're on, they're dangerous. And I think they're going to get take out some frustration tonight on Kansas and win and cover. And that league is sick. Can you imagine this conference tournament?
Oh. No, just, it's going to be.
I just ran it down with what I mean. BYU was what, top six, top seven team, not that long ago, and now they're sitting there ranked 15th, but one, they're in eighth place in this league, and they're 17-4. BYU, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Iowa State, Houston, Arizona. Good God.
Even like you can basically just throw a dart and look at any team in the league right now and then pull up the February schedule. You ran down Arizona's earlier. Gauntlet, same thing with Kansas. Houston, mm-hmm. for example. Houston plays Central Florida. They're at BYU, at Utah. Okay. They get, they have to go at Iowa State. They get Arizona at home, at Kansas. That's a three-game stretch from the 16th to the 23rd in 1 week. They play at Iowa State, Arizona, and Kansas on the road. That's Houston. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech tonight, Kansas. Later on this month, at Arizona. They actually have it easier compared to some other teams. They're at Iowa State on the last day of the month, but they get to play Cincinnati, K-State, Arizona State. Texas Tech could make a run, yeah. and their numbers actually could get cut down drastically to make the Final Four and maybe even to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Toppin, I'll ask you about this coming up in about a half an hour. The Wooden Award numbers. Now, Boozer, no offense to him. He's unbelievable, and the stats are so good. But Toppin's like, Toppin's right there with them. Sorry, cut you off.
Not enough time. No, it's okay. All right. Yeah, good rant. Fine.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Forget about winning. The Hornets might cover. We're up 7 now. Big run for the Hornets. There you go, kid.
We will discuss mentioned markets coming up next as they're becoming more and more popular by the game.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Later on in the week, David Purdom is going to join the program, ESPN. He has got a good story up right now on the website about mention markets. I brought this up earlier in the show last night on the Grammys. Coming back from a commercial break, Trevor Noah started off by saying the word potato. That was it. And then he went on to say, well, that was a big one for those of you who had it at Poly Market, including some person named Noah_22. And then everybody was just, oh my God, is that insider trading? What did he do? How much money did he just make himself? Potato was actually not offered. It was his joke. But as Purdom wrote, like at Kelce, for example, more than $47 million has been staked this season in these mentioned markets. The AFC and NFC title games were up to like $3.5 million in each game. They keep going up, up, and up. In the AFC title game, more than 400,000 was riding on whether or not Nance or Romo would say the word honor.
Yep.
And Nance actually said it with about a minute left in the second quarter. Paul Charchian came on this show in recent weeks, and he described how it was an Amazon Prime game, and he bet on, I think, the word snow to be used by Michaels or Herbstreit.
Yes.
And he said down the stretch, basically, Michaels was doing everything he could to dance around the word snow. And he came up with like every adjective imaginable, but it's like he almost knew that snow was something that you could bet on.
We talked about it with him in the NFC title game. Kelce has offered announcer mention markets for 64 games. In the NFC title game, it would be, would Brady or Burkhart say any of 28 words? MVP, flag football, Starbucks, Lombardi, Space Needle. They choose the terms or phrases to what put on there and what's going to be offered. It goes back to that one that was bet where you think what a catch would be said on a regular basis, but how this has exploded. The timing's spectacular, number one, with the Purdom article, but also we got an email before the show from Eric, and I'll take him at his word. He says one of these, you know, if you go globally, the limits are like $50. Mm-hmm. But he says, will the MVP of the Super Bowl say I'm going to Disneyland, Disney World? He said, she said, tracking it, it's like an 18-1 run. And it's 8-1 on the yes. So he says,
Aren't they contractually obligated to actually say those words?
He said, like in 2015, someone didn't say it. That's the last time he can go back and look in his research that the MVP didn't say that. I thought the same thing. So it's wild how this has exploded and how people doing their research and homework and what the handle is here and what the menu is as well. And stuff's already up for the Super Bowl, of course, and how creative they can be. Like we mentioned the Cardi B's up there in terms of like, will they show her? But then the mentions, you can get very creative with this stuff. You know, it's Mike against Mike for the head coaches. Darnold's the first USC quarterback to start a Super Bowl. Will they mention red hair? They have to say the seeing ghosts thing, don't they?
That's plus 550.
Yeah, they have to mention that.
I don't know how they don't. I don't think you're telling the full story of Sam Darnold if you go an entire Super Bowl broadcast and don't bring that up.
Hurt his career. Mic'd up. They did him dirty. Beast mode.
I don't know about that. Just because Seattle's playing?
Legion of Boom.
I could see
and
that.
And then what member will they mention first? Will they mention the electrical substation near the stadium? Everything that's gone wrong with the 49ers and their players. That's 7-1. That is good.
Well, that's. I think I would need more than 7-1, though, don't you?
Yeah, why would that come?
I don't know why
that would come
up.
Well, if you do the overhead. Yeah.
Maybe.
If you do the overhead.
So, again, you really don't know how much money you can get down on some of this stuff. Kelce, sure. Polymarket. Bigger bets.
Right.
Offshore websites. Like for this one, for example, will Alcatraz be shown on the broadcast is minus 145 to get down to win 300 where you can find that prop. How do you not show Alcatraz when the game's being played in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
They're going to show everything, man. It's a beautiful city. They're going to show the Golden Gate Bridge probably multiple times. You want Lombard Street to be shown.
Got to show Lombard Street.
Right?
It's iconic.
I think the Wharf, maybe if you want to go down and show some chowder at the Wharf, would not be a bad idea. Will they say West Coast is a little bit more than 50%? Would they actually say those two words combined on the game? It feels like we don't have very many West Coast Super Bowls anymore. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Will Russell Wilson be said? The last time these two teams, well, when they played in the Super Bowl, that play?
Yeah, because you got to show the Butler play.
You have to show it.
Yeah, and all the controversy. That's all set up there. They show Lynch. You show the highlight. You tell the story of the interception.
Will the word or the words tush push be said? Seattle's a pretty decent candidate to do that with Barner.
Yeah.
How about no good? Do we get like one missed kick at all? No good is 42%. You can bet on basically you're betting on these penalties to happen. Like late hit is 22%, same as roughing the passer. This is an NBC broadcast, so they use next gen stats.
Okay.
Next gen stat to be said is 82%. It's basically free money. Let me click on that one right now. Yeah, $100 pays 17. But they basically say that I think in every one of their it's NBC and the Amazon that are connected obviously with the next gen, and they say it almost every single time. Let's see here. Well, MVP is 96%. Could they go an entire broadcast without saying MVP? If this is just from when the game kicks off to when zero show in the fourth quarter, and then they mention MVP postgame and that's it? So could the no actually be something there? To say the two words, Marshawn Lynch is 74%.
I like that.
Well, again,
I think to say it and show them. Yeah. How could you not give them the ball at the 1 yard line? They got to fit that in. It was nuts the last meeting.
Will they say Mahomes 65%?
I don't know about that.
I think the no on that.
No, I don't. Yeah.
That's basically plus 165 on the no.
They have to mention to me Patriots from 4-13 to the Super Bowl. Last place, first place, 4-13 to this record, how bad it was. I mean, that's your big takeaway. You set that whole story up, you go through it, you show craft a couple times, you cash that prop too, bam.
Will they mention
the guts it took to fire Mayo after 1 year, to move on from Belichick, didn't get it right with Mayo. You bring in the stud Vrabel, now you're in the Super Bowl.
Here's another one. Just to say the word schedule is 61%. I don't know how you could possibly do a Patriots broadcast in the Super Bowl this year and not say it point out the schedule.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's one of the all-time easiest. That's part of the story here. Will Cardi B be mentioned? Forget showing here. Will she be mentioned? 53%. I think no.
Is she performing at halftime with him, Bad Bunny? Is that rumor?
She might pop she up might on appear, there with
she
him.
She might make an appearance. Yeah. Well, she was just on SNL. They got a kid together. They've been dating. She's sitting next to Kraft?
I don't know if she's going to... If they're actually
they
got to
show
her
more than 1.5 times, though, too. But I would think they acknowledge her and say her name if they show her. They also can put what would she be wearing? I don't know. Jersey plus 160, sweater 5-1, dress 7-1.
I go jersey, right? Diggs jersey?
Maybe, I don't know.
Wasn't she wearing a Diggs jersey recently when she was going nuts when they won the AFC title game?
No, she had some green, I don't know, green hair with some... looked like leather thing. I don't know what the hell that was.
Will they say the word Levi's? 93%.
Did you say the odds? They have a breakdown on what will they show first? Should the Golden Gate Bridge be $8 ahead of Alcatraz?
No, we brought that up before.
Last week.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. And then what will be shown first, cable cars or Lombard Street? Cable cars is $1.40.
Yeah, they have to show cable cars for sure. Okay. There's no doubt. Again, you're going to give me Alcatraz, what is it, like 5-1?
Yeah.
There's an angle here where why do they have to show the Golden Gate Bridge first? It's more iconic, I guess, but
yeah,
you could swoop in over Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with what Patriot celebrity fan will be shown first. Because you can choose from Wahlberg, Affleck, Damon, Cena, John Bon Jovi, Steven Tyler. It's like who's sitting next to Kraft in the suite, too.
Right.
They're always up there. Are you still paying full price for gas? You don't have to with the free Upside app. You can earn real cash back every time you fill up. Just download Upside from the Apple Google Play Store and start earning today. Promo code NETWORK. Get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Drivers are saving $200 to $300 a year just buying the gas they already needed. It's simple, legit, and you can cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK for a limited time, 25 cent per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions. Upside.com, code NETWORK. Go get it.
You can always send us screen grabs of some of the most creative props that you've noticed as well. On X at VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Emails ftm@vsiN.com. Warren Sharp next. Which player props does he currently deem worth a bet in the Super Bowl? We'll ask him coming up.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll get some Super Bowl thoughts here from Warren Sharp. Been joining us every single Monday at this time throughout the entire football season. And how about this? To celebrate a great season here on the network, Warren has decided to give everyone his in-depth big game report for free. 45-plus pages, PDF, drops tomorrow. Breaks on all the key matchups to give you an edge betting the game, including sides, totals, derivatives, and props. File this one away. Go to sharpspecial.com to claim the offer. sharpspecial.com to get the offer. It's going to be available tomorrow. Warren joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. I can't wait to read it, Warren. That's really cool.
Yeah, I put a lot of work into this. As I'm going through the week leading into the Super Bowl, so last week, I'm working on writing this. It is up to like 59 pages right now. My editor is working on finalizing it. It's got a lot of angles from a matchup and an analytics perspective that aren't really being discussed at a lot of places as of yet. Some of the thoughts that are in here will help steer you in certain directions from a prop betting perspective, from a game side or total perspective as well. Just a lot of research that I've compiled over the last week that I think is going to be interesting for the readers. And as a result, I wanted to share it for free for everybody if they go to Sharp. special.com. They'll be able to sign up and we'll get it out to everybody when it goes live tomorrow morning.
Very good. So in all of your analysis and your research for this game, what did you notice when the Patriots played the Bills in week 15, something that Sean McDermott did?
This is absolutely fascinating to me. So teams play cover six, which is a split field coverage. Half the field is being used with quarters. Half the field they're playing cover two on. Teams don't play that very much, like around just under 10% on the season. In the first game against the Patriots, the game that the Bills lost, they played it at about their season average, which is right around 10% as well. However, in the rematch game in week 15, Sean McDermott saw something on film, decided to utilize it, and increased his rate all the way up to 50% cover six against the New England Patriots and Drake May. In that game, that was the highest rate of cover six any team used in any game this past season. And he forced Drake May into a ton of mistakes. He threw an interception, was sacked multiple times, had a horrible EPA per attempt performance, held the ball for a long time. And so what ended up happening, this is where the real fascination comes into play. A lot of the other smart defensive coaches saw what Sean McDermott did in week 15 and began to copycat that to an extent. The very next game, the Baltimore Ravens went up against the New England Patriots. Baltimore plays the lowest rate of too high shell of any team in the NFL last season. They jacked up their cover six rate to over 21% of the time. They held Drake May to 2 of 8, another multiple sack game, plus another interception utilizing the cover six defense. And Drake May almost lost that game. And despite the fact that they were playing Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Huntley, most of the second half of the game, because Lamar Jackson got hurt at the 2 minute warning at the end of the first half. The three playoff games since they've played, every single one of these defenses has increased their rate of cover six against the New England Patriots with success when they deployed that coverage. But those teams don't play cover six very much. Guess who the Seattle Seahawks rate? They rank as the number one cover six team of all 14 teams that made the postseason. They rank number three highest rate of cover six of any team in the NFL during the regular season. This is music to Mike McDonald's ears. I think he's going to increase his rate of cover six even more, having seen on film what some of these teams did. And it's that little adjustment that Sean McDermott saw in week 15 that might actually help the Seattle Seahawks defense win this game and slow down Drake May. It makes him hold on to the football for too long, and his efficiency decreases a ton against cover six.
That is absolutely phenomenal.
Good job. I think everyone agrees it's going to be a big game to dump it off to the running backs. Is there something you can look at for maybe first pass, complete, incomplete, or first the player to have the first reception?
Well, I will tell you this. I haven't sent this out yet, but it is going to be something on my menu that I'm going to probably be sending out maybe later today, maybe in the next hour or so. I'm going to fade JSN as the first reception for the Seattle Seahawks. He is the heavy favorite in that market. I'm going to be looking at a couple of the other players there on Seattle to step up there for a first reception standpoint. But I absolutely believe that the New England Patriots, though they play man coverage at the ninth highest rate of any defense this year, they are not going to want to play as much man coverage against the Seattle Seahawks as they've been doing against every other team. And I went back and I looked at the adjustment that opposing teams are making against Seattle from probably week 12, 13 onwards. Most teams that go up against Seattle are playing man coverage at a 9% lower rate versus Seattle than they do on the regular season. And it's because the Seahawks are really good against man coverage. JSN, Sam Darnold, really good against man coverage. Much worse against zone. It's harder to get the ball to JSN against zone. I think the Patriots would be a lot smarter rather than, and everybody's got different opinions on this, and it's all speculation at this point because we don't know what they're going to do. But I don't think you just simply stick Gonzalez on JSN and hope that he takes care of him. I think that would be music to the ears of Sam Darnold and JSN, and they'll attack Gonzalez man coverage. They'll hope that that's the case. I think they're going to double up and utilize some zone principles against JSN and force Sam Darnold to beat him to other players like Cooper Kupp, like AJ Barner, like the running backs out of the backfield. And I absolutely do think that with a higher rate of man of zone coverage that the Patriots might shift into for this game, that's where Sam Darnold does look to check down to the running backs. And I think people, a lot of people out there, because the line hasn't moved, are betting the running back receiving props as if this is the Seattle Seahawks and the way that they've played the entire season. If you start looking at how the Seattle Seahawks have played over the second half of the season, they're throwing the ball at much higher rates to their running backs, and their running back efficiency, ironically enough, in the entire season, number two best yards per target on early downs in the first three quarters of games, designed offensive plays, the number two behind only the Atlanta Falcons with Bijan Robinson. I think Kenneth Walker will have a tremendous game out of the backfield for the Seattle Seahawks. I think that they are going to, K9 is going to have high upside. His prop number is down to 20 and a half receiving yards. I just don't buy it. And I've bet it towards the over. And I know some other people disagree with me in the market and they've bet it back towards the under. That's fine. I'm going to continue to get more down on that prop. Kenneth Walker has had a lot of success. He's done it of late, but this particular matchup with the way that I think the Patriots are going to deploy more zone coverage than people are expecting, coupled with the fact that the New England Patriots have played very few teams that are actually good and excel at throwing the ball to running backs. So their stats, I think, are inflated. They look like they're one of the best defenses against running backs, but it's primarily because they haven't played a lot of teams that like to throw the ball to running backs or have running backs as dynamic as Kenneth Walker. I think we're going to see him go over his total receiving yards.
It almost smells to me like that might be a lateralable bet as well, huh?
I think it is a lateralable bet. I also look at George Halani out of the backfield. His receptions, I think, are the more valuable prop there. Think about it in this context as well, guys. The issue is not just, oh, well, they might want to throw the ball more to the running back. The issue is they need to get the ball into Kenneth Walker's hands because he's probably their second most dynamic weapon behind JSN. And you can't just guarantee that you're going to get the ball into JSN's hands 20 times in this game, right? That's not reasonable. Mm-hmm. But you can get the ball into Kenneth Walker's hands 20 times. The question is, how many of those times do you want him to try to run through the New England Patriots' number one ranked run defense and that strong defensive line? Or how many times do you want to try to get him to work the perimeters by throwing him the football and go up against linebackers and guys in the secondary trying to tackle him, as opposed to dealing with that defensive line? That defensive line is absolutely incredible. And I think that it's going to be a hard time for the Seattle Seahawks to run the football here, which will allow the Patriots to be in this game even late if they can keep it close enough, because it's going to be hard for the Seahawks to run the clock out if they are playing with a lead. I just don't think they're going to have success running the football. Remember, Sam Darnold turned to the passing game against the Rams to try to end that game. He might have to do the same here if the Seahawks are up late in this one.
Warren, that was a spectacular hit as always. Thanks so much for the time. I know you're going to be doing a lot of hits on VSiN throughout the entire week, and we'll talk to you again this coming Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, during the Pro Football Tailgate Show.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. And as a reminder, make sure you guys go check out that. I'll get you guys a copy of your PDF. You can spend 30 minutes to maybe an hour and a half reading it. It's going to be some good info inside there.
I can't wait to check it out. Thanks again. And here's what Warren's talking about now. To celebrate a great season here on VSiN, Warren has decided to give everybody his in-depth big game report for free, up to 59 pages, he said. The editor might shrink it down a little bit, but... So there you go. PDF is going to drop tomorrow, breaks in all the key matchups. And if you want more of that analysis that he just gave over the last 10 minutes, why wouldn't you? It was awesome. Sides, totals, derivatives, props, sharpspecial.com to get the offer. Sharpspecial.com. This needs to be a priority on Super Bowl Sunday. Real or Fugazi coming up next.
Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were made, guys.
investigating what is and isn't legit.
Plus, that's a fugazi. All right? That's a fugazi. We looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FTM Army is being sent for.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
All right. Beautiful.
Paulie, yeah, make sure you have at least a couple of books loaded on Super Bowl Sunday. Live betting the MVP needs to be a priority. Real or Fugazi?
That's real. Yes. Very good.
I'll have a breakdown later on in the week of the non-quarterbacks to win it from the offensive side. Remember when Cooper Kupp did it as the wide receiver? He was having a nice game. Stafford was not having like a great game. Like last week, NFC title game, Darnold's going to win the MVP because he was sensational. So was JSN. But there's no way JSN would win over Sam Darnold in that same scenario. So if you're noticing the quarterback is having kind of a meh day.
Or it's an ugly game, yeah.
Yeah, but there's one receiver who has, like the Edelman game, right? Where he's got 10 catches and a bulk of the yards.
Or Myers hits from 55 and 52.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have not bet the kickers yet. I'm thinking about betting both. Really under the idea that this could be offered. A low-scoring game.
70 yards is 200-1, 65-plus, 40-1. Both teams to make three, both teams to make four. Every which way but loose.
Now, with that said, voters would love nothing more than to give the award to Sam Darnold. Real or Fugazi?
Yes, that's real. What a career arc and what a story. And Jet fans joke it's worth the draft pick because he beats the Patriots and they don't get a Super Bowl. But to be a top five pick, the seeing ghost line, and on his sixth team to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How about what Jefferson said? Yeah, we would have had a better year if we kept him. I mean, that's
flat out admitting
that's a tough one for the Minnesota Vikings, too.
No question.
And also the guy going back-to-back 14-win seasons.
On two
Brady.
Different teams.
Yeah, Brady the last guy to do that.
They love the story out of nowhere. They really do.
Fair. That's fair. The list is official. We are headed toward 18. But what do you think now? We will have at least 8 international games next year. Madrid, Munich, Rio de Janeiro, Australia, 3 games in London. Is this a good thing? This is a good thing, excuse me. Real or Fugazi?
Yeah, why not? I'll buy in.
So you get 6:30 games, half the season, and eventually every single week what they want to do.
Seems like a pretty easy trip to Australia for the two teams that are going to be involved,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
They'll get there in no time whatsoever. I'll embrace it. Again, they're holding us hostage already. So why not just fully embrace it at this point? It's going to turn into 18, pretty much. Maybe they can't go 18 because late in the year. But we're going to get, at some point, 12, 15 different weeks with an international game. And they're all going to be tucked in there at 9:30 Eastern time. So it's going to be every single Sunday
wall.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I love the Friday night, Brazil, wherever that's going to be. Like what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Thursday and the defending champs home game and then do Friday night wherever you want. I really like that.
Can you see a scenario where it's basically every week throughout the year?
That's what Kraft said. I think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, let's go up to 18 games. Let's go to 2 buys and let's go the full circle here.
Even a Super Bowl blowout like last year shouldn't be boring. Bets, right. Squares, parties, food, drinks, commercials, halftime. Right company that you're around, Real or Fugazi?
I have never thought, well, this is a boring game. I didn't. I thought there was so much intrigue. What was going on with Rams Patriots? Well, a lot of people are this game. I mean, there was so much going on with. Will we even see a touchdown?
Right.
What am I watching? I can't believe this. The total was in the 50s. How can we have a 6-3 final, which was in play? And between the halftime, props cashing every play. I don't think you can just say that this is boring or this. You got to be on your toes for everything.
I would say
props in play. What the commercial's going to be? What would the announcer say? Who are they going to show? What's going to happen at halftime? There's so much going on.
I actually thought the Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl was fascinating.
Yeah,
safety to start the game.
Yeah, right.
That offense, best of all time, basically at the time, got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah.
And so just to, like, watch that for 3 hours, you're like, this is staggering to me.
Yeah, they have. Will there be a streaker that's offered? Will someone get on the field? Streaker to be tackled. Unauthorized person touch the logo, enter the end zone, contact the player, and over under 17 and a half seconds on the field if that happens.
Yeah.
You got that too.
So for a Super Bowl, this could go for most games, but I'll say just for the Super Bowl, 10-10 late can be just as exciting as 28 apiece. Real or Fugazi?
You're talking fourth quarter?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Points are at a premium.
Yeah.
Defense rules the day. You don't know where the next big play is coming from. Hell, an 8-yard gain might be a big deal.
You got no problem with that. You just want this
Neither
to be close. No, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Real. You just want this to be close. Because it sucks if like last year. That was a bad way to go out. But you hope that it's close. But that thing was over. That goes back to your point where you got to have the apps ready to go. Because that was, I can't believe what I'm watching. Is Mahomes going to get embarrassed? He never loses like this. Are they even going to make it interesting to what Von Tobel was saying? This thing's over. You know, we had future tickets on the Eagles. You're wasting money if you're hedging.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's got no chance. And he was right.
The Clippers are really going to do this, aren't they?
Well, the schedule is easy once you get to March and then close out in April. Now, what can they do in February? They are now down to 14-1 to win the division. I still say Fugazi. But that was a big win last night. We'll see if they're small dogs at home against the Sixers. How are they going to treat the schedule and back-to-backs with Kawhi, and can he stay healthy? Incredible turnaround. But now from 100-1 to 14-1 to win the division. It all comes down to February, because March and April, very doable from a schedule standpoint.
The Warriors, yuck. The Lakers, just horrible defensively overall.
They've passed the Warriors now in the odds.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
They have better odds to win the division than Golden State.
I think they should. And Can Phoenix really do this for the entire year? I know Booker's been out here recently, but... And they have a really tough schedule coming up as well for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I said this earlier, I'll say it again. The Bulls are the new favorites to land Greek Freak. That, to me, is uninspiring.
Fugazi. I'd like to see that. That'd be a good... That'd be a good landing spot with a top five market and to go to Chicago. They've got to get out of this funk for 10 years where it's, let's just get in the play-in. And good enough or be like the eighth seed. It's ridiculous.
What is he going to do?
Blow it up or do so. I don't know what they're going to give up, but that'd be a good landing spot in terms of a big market team. And if the three can turn around the Bulls.
Well, who do the Bulls have as a roster that they would actually make them like a top three team in the East?
I don't know what they would give. I don't know why the big move and what would happen and how many teams would be involved.
Well, the Bucks are absolutely getting Giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Under no circumstance could they do a deal with the Bulls and not get Giddy. That would be pathetic. And I don't know what else they would also offer to him, but I just think that there are so many, I'm talking about for both sides here. That to me is just yuck.
What?
That doesn't even move the needle for him to go to the Bulls.
Huh.
The best player on Duke doesn't have to win the Wooden Award every single year. Real or Fugazi?
Yeah, real. Yeah. Now they're having quite an unbelievable season.
Yeah.
Your only loss is by 1 point to Texas Tech. But they could keep doing this. I just don't agree with the odds.
Yeah, this is...
There's so many great freshmen. There's so many great players. How can you be out to this size of a big of a favorite?
Again, no knock on Boozer. Kid's incredible. Averaging 23.5 points per game, second in the country. 9.8 rebounds. Shoots 59%, 1.8 steals. He's $9 to win the award? How about A.G. DeBanza?
Mm-hmm.
23.3 points per game. He's 11-1, by the way. That's third in the country. 6.5 rebounds per game, 53%, 1.2 steals, but what he's doing for BYU. And then the team that Duke lost to, Toppin, is 18-1, 22.5 points, 11 rebounds, 57%, 1.1 steals, 1.7 blocks. Why is this thing over with? Why could a guy like Toppin not get the award? Because Boozer's the best player and he happens to be at Duke?
I don't know if he's have enough time, though.
Oh, no,
nine games, I know. It's kind of telling you he's running out of, doesn't have enough time.
But Boozer's going to win the award, I would assume. I don't think this is worth a bet on DeBanza or Toppin. I just think it sucks.
Yeah.
Like last year, Flagg had to win it. Broom was right on him.
Football meets flavor with Veasan and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings, 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. You see the menu and the selection. Incredible offer delivered right to your door. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. 2 pounds of wings. Spend $129. omahasteaks.com.
Dr. David Chow on the program next. He has concerns about the overall health of Patriots quarterback Drake May. He'll tell us why next here on VEASAN.